During the Sundays following Easter, the lectionary provides the opportunity to consider several post-resurrection appearances by Jesus. Last week, Todd spoke about Thomas, the twin. We know him as Doubting Thomas. And today we reflect upon two travelers walking on the road out of Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus. As they walk, they are talking about what has taken place, how Jesus has been crucified. And Jesus appears and walks with them and talks with them, but somehow they don't recognize him. After he explains to them how the scriptures foretold what was to take place, they invite him to dinner. And during the meal, he takes bread and breaks it and gives it to them. And lo and behold, they recognize him. And as soon as they recognize him, he vanishes like a puff of smoke. Amazing stuff. Listen, from the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked him, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Two travelers, Cleopas and an unnamed person, often presumed to be Cleopas's wife, as if it had been a male, he probably would have been named, are walking away from Jerusalem after the momentous events of Passover. How they are hungering for the presence of God. How they are yearning to experience God as a living reality in their lives. How they want Christ to be alive and present in their lives as he had been before the crucifixion. And yet their hopes had been dashed. Jesus had been crucified. He was dead. They knew it to be true. We had hoped. Oh, we had hoped that this Jesus would be the one. Have you ever hoped for something and not received it? Surely you have. Surely each of us has. One Christmas, gosh, 25 years or so ago, when we were living in Virginia, Richard would have been, our son would have been 5 or 6 at the time, and he decided to ask Santa Claus for a Nintendo system. Now, this was the original Nintendo system, before all the fancy ones today, before the Super Nintendo, surely before Xbox and PlayStation and all the modern high-def, high-tech stuff we have today. I'm talking about the original Nintendo system. You remember it came with Mario Brothers game and Duck Hunt. Anybody remember that game? Yeah. In Duck Hunt, these ducks would fly across the screen. You had a zapper and would try to shoot them. We still have a picture of Richard somewhere with his eyes that far from the screen with his zapper trying to shoot those ducks. And the other game was Mario Brothers, and I must confess, though Richard was far better than I was, I kind of got hooked on it. I would stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning trying to save the princess. I finally outgrew that game, but then along came Super Punch-Out. Anyway, we lived in a big old manse there in Fort Defiance, Virginia. And on Christmas morning, we all went downstairs to the living room to see what Santa had brought. There were the stockings filled with goodies. There was for Richard a book or two, some clothes, maybe a board game. There was always a ball of some sort. But no Nintendo set. I'll never forget Richard's expression, trying to sort things out. Shall I dare think a bad thought about Santa? Trying to figure out how to deal with his disappointment. Richard, why don't you run to the bathroom and then we'll eat breakfast? Well, you had to go through the family room where the television set was to get to the bathroom. And of course, when he entered the family room, there were ducks flying across the television screen. And disappointment faded, expectations were met, and trust in Santa restored. Richard's heart was set on getting a Nintendo system. And when he thought, even if only for a moment, that his expectations weren't going to be met, he came close to judging Santa. And as fleeting as that sense of disappointment was for Richard, it must have been a similar sense of disappointment experienced by the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Handling disappointment is one of life's hardest lessons. Everyone else got into the right college. Why didn't I? I'm perfect for the job. Why did she get it? All my friends are getting married and having kids. Why can't I? When we're hoping, longing for something, and it doesn't happen, or when we're expecting one thing yet get another, it's easy to fall into despair, to become angry, bitter, depressed even. Now, to be sure, handling disappointment means, among other things, learning to manage our expectations to begin with, what's reasonable and what's not, making sure our priorities are honorable, our perspective on life realistic. It involves finding a support group with whom to share our feelings and frustrations when disappointment strikes. But those are topics for another day. What I invite for you to think upon just for a moment is the human tendency to blame God or to get angry with God when things do not go the way we hope or desire. For it is often when we don't get what we hope for or feel that we deserve that our anger is directed toward God. God, why can't I get a break? Have you got something against me? You know how much I wanted this or that. When things don't work out the way we plan or the way we think they should, often we become angry and disillusioned. And often our target when our expectations are not met is God. Richard came close to judging Santa based on what he hoped to find on Christmas morning. We have that same tendency. When something happens and our expectations disturb, we tend to judge our religion and conclude there's no use for it. We tend to judge God and conclude there's no use for God. But we must remember, God is God. And we judge God at our own peril. Those of you who know me know that I don't usually quote stories from the 700 Club. But I came across an exchange which is particularly fitting to our subject this morning. Sheila Walsh shares, "Our paradigm, or what we think about a Christian life, is supposed to be, hugely affects whether we become bitter or not. So many of the people I work with are dealing with disappointment. Disappointment with themselves, disappointment with other people, and disappointment with God because He doesn't do what we think He should do. I got one of the most interesting letters at the 700 Club from a young woman in her mid-20s who had cancer and MS. She said, "Sometimes I watch your program and I'm helped. And sometimes I want to take off my shoe and throw it through the screen. I was so fascinated by her honesty, I called her and we became friends. And one day she said, 'One of the things I hate about your program is that you always present people whose marriages get better in 10 minutes. People who get healed. People who have the nice packaged answers. What about people like me who are dying and still love God? What about people who take very few steps, but every step leaves a big impression in the snow because it costs every ounce of strength they have left?'" Walsh concludes, "She changed my perspective. Christianity is not this nice, everything's going to work out okay attitude. When you think of Christ at the tomb of Lazarus, He wept because it wasn't supposed to be this way. He had spoken this beautiful world into existence, and it was so broken, so messed up. I think one of the greatest gifts we can give is just a dose of reality that life down here is disappointing or can be disappointing, that God doesn't always give us answers, but He does always give us Himself." That's what the travelers on the road to Emmaus learned. Their hopes had been shattered. They were disappointed. But in the midst of disappointment, Jesus appears to them. Only they don't recognize Him. And it is only later, when Jesus breaks bread, that they recognize Him and say, "Weren't our hearts burning within us when He was talking to us on the road?" Isn't that the way it often is with us? In the midst of disappointment, it's hard to see the big picture. It's hard to grasp the good news, even when it comes from Jesus Himself. But in retrospect, from a distance, we can see where a person was placed in our life. We can see where a perspective was changed. We can see where a door was opened. And the faithful among us will recognize that it has been the hand of God at work. Yes, indeed, you know it as well as I. Life down here can be disappointing, and God doesn't always give us answers, but what He does give us Himself. That's what this season we just went through is all about. That's what Holy Week is all about. That's what Easter is all about. That's what the cross is all about. We're not promised a life free from disappointment. We're not promised a life in which all our hopes and dreams will be fulfilled. But we are promised by God that for those who open themselves to the gift of His love, a way will be found in the wilderness, and we will experience that contentment, that peace which passes all understanding. It may take a while. It may only come through struggle. But it is the promise of God, and God doesn't break promises. Let's not make the mistake of blaming God when we face disappointment. For when we do, to be honest, we're putting ourselves in the role of Creator. Rather, may we, as the Apostle Paul notes, rejoice in our sufferings, our disappointments, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Praise be to God that it is so. Let us pray. Oh God, we do acknowledge that our hopes can be dashed from time to time, that life can be disappointing. Help us to invite you into our story rather than blaming you. Help us to be open our eyes and hearts that we might just recognize Jesus in the words of a friend, in a note, in some other special way that you speak to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.